Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are continuing to examine the text in 1 Peter chapter 4 that deals with the Christian and trials or suffering. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, among other things, we have learned that the proper attitude toward trials is to recognize trials as a cause for joy, trials as a tool for growth, and trials as an instrument of focus, that is, to help us focus upon what is really important for time and for eternity, and particularly to focus upon the second coming of Christ and what follows thereafter. But there are lots and lots and lots of applications that I think we can draw from this text, and so we're going to continue in that vein on this Tuesday, May 20, enabled to do so by the financial support of our radio listeners. Thank you so much for your consideration. Now, one of the things that I think we have to learn from this text, or I hope we will learn from this text, is that we are not to be looking for the easiest road in this life. Surely you understand that. But we're talking about lifestyle choices. For many Americans, their choices are always made on what will bring the greatest personal comfort. That's what I will do. I don't choose the hard thing. I don't look for difficulty. I'm always looking for a way to make things as easy as possible. I'm looking for the easiest road, not the most difficult road. But the child of God is not going to think that way, because he realizes that God uses hardship for good. Now, that doesn't mean that we go out and seek pain and suffering necessarily, just all of itself. That's the other extreme, of course. And there have been some examples of that down through history. People who thought they were serving God and becoming more spiritually minded by beating their bodies. People still do this today in some parts of the world. Flagellate themselves, do other things to inflict pain deliberately in order to, in most cases, what they're trying to do is to atone for sin and to earn salvation, which, of course, is entirely erroneous. But for a child of God who understands that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, he also understands that this life is not supposed to be the time of ease. That's what comes afterwards. That's what comes after Christ's return. First the cross, then the crown. First the battle, then the reward. And right now we're in a battle. We are soldiers. We are not courtiers. We are soldiers of the cross. And that means that we aren't always looking for the easiest way out or the easiest course to take. And we're not avoiding things because they are hard. Now, again, we have to rein in our flesh and remind ourselves of these truths, or that's exactly what we're going to do, because the flesh will look for the most comfortable route, and the flesh will avoid doing hard things, but if we're going to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to have to be willing to choose the hard things and the less comfortable things on many occasions in order to be most pleasing to the Lord. I am concerned about the style of Christianity that we're seeing more and more of, I think, in our day. That is soft Christianity. It's Christianity light. It's Christianity that is designed to be as convenient as possible and to require as little commitment as possible. And that's not the Christianity of the Bible. I promise you that. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That doesn't sound like an easy road. Do you remember that old song? It just comes to my mind right now. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. It's not. It's not supposed to be. It's not designed to be. God uses hardships for good in our lives. And therefore, Christians who understand that are not going to deliberately avoid hardship. Sometimes we're going to choose it over the easier route because we recognize the value of it. And we recognize this is what our Lord wants us to do. Have you ever, for example, I'm just going to throw out some examples that come to my mind, have you ever had the choice of two jobs and deliberately chose the one that was more difficult or perhaps the one that paid less because you felt like that one was the place where you could most honor the Lord? I have. I have, and I can promise you that the Lord has been more than faithful to meet my needs and to help me. And he'll do that for all of his children. If they're doing this thing in order to please him, if their heart motive is right, if they are endeavoring to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us to do. I recognize that the majority of the trials and hardships that come upon us are not those that we choose. They're the ones that God brings upon us. We don't really have a choice to go that route, and we don't necessarily seek them. They find us. They tackle us along the road of life, and most of the time we don't even have choices in them. But this whole idea that we're going to make Christianity as easy, as effortless, as convenient as possible is not the picture that I get in the Bible at all. I was surfing through some television channels. Oh, it's really been probably 3 or 4 months ago now. And I came across a preacher on Christian television, a pastor of a large mega church. And here's what I heard him say. I have the words almost exactly. I don't have them written down, but he said something like this. Jesus never came to bring us rules. Jesus never came to change your lifestyle. And I'm saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus didn't come to bring us rules. Now, rules is a loaded term, of course, and maybe it's possible that there could be some way to explain that statement to bring it in line with the Word of God, but it sounds entirely wrong to me. Jesus did come to bring us rules. What do you think commandments are? What do you think instructions are? What do you think imperatives are? If Jesus said, do this, that's a rule of life for a follower of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ said, do this and avoid that, don't do this, but do that, those are rules. Whatever you want to call them, you may not want to give it that term, but that's what they are. They are rules. And to say that Jesus didn't come to bring us rules, kind of beating on the style of Christianity that appeals to rules. And I recognize, believe me when I'm saying this, I recognize that there are some styles of Christianity that go overboard on man-made rules. But what this man wasn't talking about man-made rules. He didn't say, He didn't say, Jesus didn't tell us that we need to keep man-made rules. In fact, if he'd been talking like that, I would agree with him. Jesus scolded the Pharisees for adding to the Word of God, the commandments of men in the place of the Word of God. That is a problem. I recognize that. But that's a far cry from saying Jesus didn't come to bring us any rules. Oh, yes, he did. He brought a lot of them. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount without having a whole list of rules, or whatever you want to call it, instructions for life. This is what Christ said to do, and this is what Christ said not to do. And then to say Jesus didn't come to change your lifestyle is probably even worse. Because, of course, that's exactly what Christ came to do. He came not only to cleanse sinners from their sins and to make them guiltless before the judgment bar of God, but he came to change their lives. As, for example, when he told the woman taken in adultery, he was very kind to her, as we know, and he got rid of the accusers who were hypocrites, but then he said, go your way and sin no more. Did he come to change that woman's lifestyle? You bet. He wanted to change it 180 degrees. No more. When he dealt with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Again, the issue there was an ungodly lifestyle, and he pointed it out. You are living with a man who's not your husband. Jesus didn't come to change our lifestyle? You bet he did. The only people's lifestyle he didn't come to change are those who are living very godly lives, according to the Word of God, the way the Bible defines righteousness. But most people aren't living a righteous life according to biblical definitions. And Christ came to change that. Christ came to enable us to change. Christ came to change our hearts and give us a desire to change. But the whole purpose is to bring about change. Yes, Jesus Christ did come to change our lifestyle. Where does this kind of thinking come from? This idea that Jesus just wants you to have a carefree, happy, indulgent, even sinful life. That's a very common idea, unfortunately, among many today, even among many who call themselves Christians today, but it is entirely contrary to the Word of God. And we need to recognize that that is not the purpose of Christ. That is not the meaning of the Bible. That is not the description of the Christian life that the Bible gives us. The Bible tells us that the Christian life is going to be hard now, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And that's the key. Hardship now, reward later, ease later. The time for our rest and ease is yet to come. It's not here yet. Now we struggle, we battle, we groan, looking all the while to Jesus Christ to give us the strength to do it and to be faithful to him to the very end until we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then comes the ease and the rest and the relief from all of these trials. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.